Lord will have blessed the word already preached this day, and that he may be pleased by his Spirit to apply the word this evening and make it a blessing to all of our hearts. We're looking at Acts chapter 17, and I want to read from the verse 1 down through about half of the chapter. Acts chapter 17, the verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And their brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul and Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. Amen. I'm sure you'll not mind if we just bow in a word of prayer once again. Oh, gracious Father, how we do thank Thee that we can come together like this evening. It's a privilege that we do not recognize too often. We pray as those who have gathered here tonight along with us have come in under this roof that You will be pleased to be here as well. Surely, Lord, if we're here and You're not in our midst, then what would be the reason for meeting? Surely it would be by and large in vain. We are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here to glorify and magnify Thy wondrous name. And being those who are smitten with this flesh and all of its sin and corruption and desire to go that way which is against Thy ways, we pray that Thou wilt deliver us and pour out great grace upon us. For those who are sat in the pews, there is that great battle. We know that. The Lord Jesus taught us about the seed of the word. Even those fowls of the air coming and trying to snatch away that seed. And so, Father, we are aware that there are those who would seek to try and remove the word of God and its effectiveness and its usefulness from this meeting together tonight. Even the very flesh itself and its weakness, how easily it tires, even coming to hear the precious word of God. What a tragedy it is, but it's a reality, Lord. So we pray in Jesus' precious name that Thou wilt be pleased to defeat every obstacle, every distraction, everything outside the mind and inside the mind. O God, let Thy Spirit come and lay hold of all of our hearts. This is the Almighty that we seek to worship. It's the great Jesus Christ that we seek to preach. Ought not our hearts to be warmed? Ought they not to be challenged? Ought we not to feel as if we and know as if we really had a memorable occasion in our lives meeting here with God. Let that be the case. Not for man's sake, not for the church's sake, but for His name and for Thy glory. Therefore, Lord, for this vessel I pray, once again empty me of every hindering thing. Grant me that power of the Spirit to preach Thy word. I just cast myself in Thy mercy, and as Thy child I cry, Lord, fill me with Thy power for Thy glory. Amen and amen. We're going to just spend a few moments this evening looking together at the verses that outline the Apostle Paul's ministry in Berea. If you've been following the Word of God, and I would encourage you to always do just that, have a portion of God's Word with you and read it and follow it with us. If you've been looking, you will recognize that the verses 10 on that we read together outline that period that Paul spent in Berea. Now, after the attacks and the persecution that he experienced in Thessalonica, and for that reason we read that portion too, just to give you a little insight to what Paul was coming from, his time in Berea was by and large a holiday. Well, at least in the Apostle Paul's normal experiences of things. Those in Thessalonica had no desire, by and large, to hear the Word of God. There was great persecution and great anger that was moved within that city to try and oppose Paul and Silas as they preached the Word of God. And we read that together. And there was this great desire among certain Jews to stop them from preaching of this other, even Christ. But when they come to Berea, there's not this anger, there's not this resentment, there's not this hatred. In fact, there's a great contrast that's drawn between the two places. For as Luke, who is penning these words, he marks out that difference. He says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." There's immediately a parallel of sorts between those who were in Thessalonica and those who were in Berea, and how different that they were. Those in Thessalonica didn't want to receive the Word of God. They didn't want to hear the Word of God. And there were those among that city that, well, you might say they were the rough sort. I'm by no means a snob. And no means was I born up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Far from it. And I'm aware that there are people that often have this idea in society that there's different levels and people are down here and some are up here, and it's very sad that that is a reality in the world in which we live. But they see certain people and they put them into a class, into a certain group. But here in the Word of God, you even have that kind of idea. They were men in Thessalonica and they were filthy men, sinful men, evil men, corrupt men. But in Berea, they weren't like that. They were good men, decent men, upright men, upstanding citizens of society. And Paul received a great warm welcome, really, in comparison to what he got in Thessalonica. And no doubt the Apostle Paul was glad. It was not his desire to go looking for enemies. He wasn't hungering to be beaten and to be persecuted everywhere he went. That wasn't his desire at all, though often it was what he experienced. And so, no doubt, when he came here and these people wanted to listen to him, it rejoiced his heart. But he didn't allow himself to be completely at ease. You see, as much as people might be good, as much as we may find favor in preaching the gospel in certain areas and that people might want to hear what we have to say in comparison to other places we've been where people don't want to hear anything we have to say, there's still a stark reality. That is, people may be good, but still not be God's children. They still might not be Christians. It seems as if Paul may have spent some time in this area. As you read the verses, you read from the verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The very wording of the sentences indicate that there was some time spent there. We don't know how long. But the Apostle Paul, as he spent his time there, was desiring to bring the truth to these people, knowing that although they were good, there was something missing. And as he preached, they searched the Scriptures, as we read together. They looked at what Paul had to say to try and validate his words. And eventually many believed. I don't know how precious the Word of God is to you. There are young people here, and by and large, young people tend to treat the Scriptures with some disdain. They don't appreciate them for what they really are, in particular those who have been nourished with it and have been saturated in it. But there are older people that have just the same view. And although they recognize the Scriptures, although they may even come and listen to the preacher bringing the Word of God, they have no desire to know that Word themselves. Some of you may have even come here tonight without a portion of God's Word, without bringing this book with you. And so I can stand here and prattle on anything, and you wouldn't have the Word of God to argue whether I was saying the right thing or not. Some of you may even profess to be Christians. The Word of God, dear child of God, or otherwise, is not just a book. And it's not just some collection of ideas and historical stories. It's the Word of life. And if you have any consideration to the most precious thing you own, namely your soul, then you will desire to know this book. Whether it's myself or a brother Mark or any other preacher, you will desire to see, is this man faithful to God's Word? Is what he is saying in line with what God has given to us? You want to just make sure. And even more nowadays, where you have so many preaching things that are not to be found in the Scriptures anywhere. I have just two simple points I want to look at with you this evening as we turn to this portion. The first is the basis of Paul's ministry among the Bereans. The basis of Paul's ministry among the Bereans. Clearly, his primary desire was to get the Word of God to them. If you can't find that in the words that we've read together, then, well, I don't know what it is you're reading or what you're thinking. He comes into this place where these people are good people, down-to-earth people, warm people, welcoming people, and yet Paul's primary concern is to get the Word of God to them. He wasn't taken up with their kindness to the point that he just thought, well, these people don't need to hear what I have to say. They don't need me to preach to them. They're good people already. His concern was to make sure these people, not that they were good people, but to make sure these people had a real relationship with the living Christ. And so he brings the Word of God to them. He preaches to them. He ministers to them over and over again, teaching them the Word of God. Again, just to outline, such a thing is vital in this age in which we live. There is such an ignorance of the Word of God. Such an ignorance. I talk to people, good people again, even God's people, and it never ceases to amaze me, and I'm not naming names, and I'm not saying about anyone or looking down on anyone at all, but they simply just do not know things they ought to know. Basic doctrines that are taught clearly in the Word of God, they have no grasp of. It comes through when you speak to them. It comes through when you hear them pray. And that's not to stop people from talking about the Word of God. I'm not saying that to hinder you from prayer. By and large, in many respects, it's a product of the preachers rather than the people. But of course, every one of us have a responsibility to know the Word of God. And these people, as Paul came and preached the Word of God, as he taught them, they had this desire to hear the Word of God and to listen to them. It wasn't just wanting to hear what Paul had to say. It was, is this what God has to say? Is this what the Scriptures actually teach? How many times do you hear people say, well, I believe that God, and on they go, or I think that God wants us to worship in this way, or you hear such things all the time. But what matters isn't what you think or I believe. What matters is what saith the Scriptures. I don't care that there are men and women who have studied the Word of God for 10 times the length of time I have. I don't care whether they've been to college and they can stand with their collar and with all their garb. That means nothing. What I'm concerned about is what they say. Does it tally with what God says in His Word? And you ought to be concerned with that too. When someone says, I believe, and you're not too sure, don't just believe it because they believe it. It doesn't matter who they are. They could be the greatest of preachers, the greatest of men. And their teaching may have guided you through life's journey for many, many years on the right track, and yet they still could be wrong. It is your duty, it is your responsibility to learn from these Bereans and from other men and women of God that we have outlined in the Scriptures. They were people who wanted to know what God says. We live in an age where it's all about discovering who we are. And a lot of Eastern ideologies have come into even Christian thinking. And it's all about, well, trying to reach into your solar plexus or something and trying to meditate and find out, who am I? Where am I from? Where am I going? What has life got for me? And trying to connect with some other word. I'm going to tell you very quickly and very easily, what you need to know is found in that book. You want to know how you're here? You'll find it in the Bible. You want to know why you're here, what you are, where you're going? You will find it all in the Word of God. And you just open that book and allow God to speak to you and to teach you through this book. You will find out all you need to know. I cannot emphasize that enough. What Paul preached to them was the Scriptures. That was his primary concern. That was his ministry among them. Teach these people the Word of God. It wasn't about bringing some new idea. There's no doubt it was new to some of those Bereans. Many of them never have heard the name of Christ before. We're not sure about this risen Savior, had no idea about God and His whole plan and dealings with men. All those things may have been new, but Paul's desire wasn't to bring something new. Again, you have people and all they're desiring is to hear something new. If you even read on, I think in Acts chapter 17 here, just coming to mind, there were those in Athens and they were just every day. They didn't work. They didn't labor. They just stood about every day hearing other philosophers and wondering which one will come up with a new idea. And we'll all flock to hear this new idea and see whether we will adopt it or whether he's right or not. And criticize him and see where it's come from. And many people are the same. They give up coming to church because they're not hearing anything new. Or they don't like a certain preacher because, well, he doesn't say anything new. And it's always the same old thing. You know, you read that Bible over and over again. It's still the same thing every time you read it. What never goes out of my mind was an old brother, he's gone on to be with the Lord. He's from India. Dr. Jacob Chelley was his name. Remember he came to Northern Ireland to preach one time. I think I was saved just maybe a month, maybe 2 months. And I sat there at that midweek service, this brother preaching. I think he had a touch of pneumonia at the time as well, and he was still preaching. And he lifted up that book, just the way I did there now. And he said, 436 times and still as sweet as honey. I've never forgot that. 436 times and still as sweet as honey. That man initiated a marvelous work in India. His sons are carrying it on. They do a thing when young men come and they want to be part of their Bible college. They sit them down and they interview them. And they say, there's a good chance you're going to lose your life. And they've had young men beaten to death as they've handed out tracts in the street. Young men beaten as they try to preach the gospel of Christ. And I look at ourselves, I look at my own heart, and I wonder what is wrong. No, part of the reason this book isn't sweet as honey. And we come to church, what's preached doesn't really do anything for us. Honestly, in your heart, how many are here really to meet with God? You really have this one desire. I'm here to meet with God. God has given us one book. He has given us one message. And God have mercy on the man who brings anything else. Paul, as he came to Berea, he had one message. He had one book. And it was that which he brought to them. Nothing else. Yes, he was one of the most intelligent men that ever lived. But he didn't have some far-flung idea to bring to the people. He had a simple message about the Lord Jesus Christ. How simple is it? It can be told in a nutshell, in a few simple words, that the Son of God Himself left glory and He came to a world to be hated and scoffed. And it tells us that our sins were laid upon Him. And as He was there upon the cross, God poured out His wrath upon Him and all of His hatred for our sin. And that the third day He rose again. And they eventually ascended into heaven into glory, and there He mediates our cause. Such a story can be told so simply, so quickly. And yet, if you don't know that story, if you get away from that story, if a man comes to this pulpit and preaches anything else, God have mercy on him. Paul was very diligent in making sure that these good, noble people understood that one thing mattered, and that was Christ. Not only have the basis of Paul's ministry among the Bereans, second and simple and final point is the reception of Paul's ministry among the Bereans. You look at the verse 11 again. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Again, some people are very good at saying the right thing, and they might even this evening, I'll go to the door and I'll say, good word, enjoyed that, thank you for coming. And they're sincere, in some ways. They did enjoy their time here. They didn't like the fact that they were able to come and sing with all the rest and to, you know, hear the Word of God preached. But it doesn't really mean that much to them. You'll notice the difference here among the Bereans. They have this desire, a real sincerity, if you like, to receive the Word of God. It tells us there, they receive the Word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the Scriptures. You'll notice this sincerity. It wasn't just, I enjoyed that. But they actually put it into practice. They themselves were trying to listen to everything that was being preached by Paul. And then they were physically lifting the book and they were going through it themselves every day. Spurgeon commented one time, you maybe heard this before, that there are some, and They lift the Bible on the first day of the week. When they're finished with that day, they set it on the shelf. By the time it comes to the following Sunday, there's just enough dust on the cover to write the word damnation. These people, every day, they lifted the Word of God and they practically searched to see whether what Paul was saying was right. You'll not only notice their sincerity, you will notice their urgency, because it was every day. Every day. There wasn't a day went by where those who could come and listen to him, or those who could open the Word of God at home, would do so. And yet we're living in an age where this book just isn't treasured in this way. These Bereans were trying to find out whether Christ was real. They're trying to figure out whether this was the way to go, the path to believe. They weren't those who were professing that they were Christians. They weren't saying that, yes, I'm a believer, and I'm a member of the Free Presbyterian Church of Kingston, and I've been attending there for so many years. That wasn't them. And yet there are some who have those credentials, and yet they do not search the Scriptures daily the way they did. I wonder, just how many here are completely they just do not have any desire to really know the Word of God. You know, I'm not saying it's easy. There have been times where days have went by and I haven't lifted the Word of God. But to go day after day, week after week, month after month, maybe even year after year, and not lift this book and say, Lord, what have you got to teach me today? Surely there's something wrong. They took Paul seriously. I don't know whether you take me seriously or not. I don't know whether you take Mark seriously or not. They took Paul seriously. And you know, as Paul preached, no doubt these thoughts come into their mind. Well, if he's right, this is good news. If he's right, this is good news. He's telling us, maybe some of them had suspected it all along, that there's life after this life. And he's telling us that if we believe in this Christ and take him as our own Savior, then we'll live eternally in his presence, in his joy. And even in this life, we'll live in his favor. Surely that's good news. Surely to know that the God of heaven looks down upon me and sees me not just as a person, not just as some he has created, but to see me as his child. Surely that's good news. Then it also thought, well, if he's right, it's also bad news. It's bad news because if he's right, if God should snap the thread of life from me this very second, I'm lost. I have no hope. I have no argument before a holy God. I have lived in idolatry. I have lived in sins of all sorts and natures. And I have no advocate. I have no one to argue for me. I have no righteousness. I have no blood to wash away my sin. I'm lost. I don't know what your thoughts are. But I would urge you this night, if you don't know whether what I'm bringing is good news or bad news, or both, then find out. For the sake of your soul, and for the glory of God, would you not just find out? You'll see also their wisdom. And the reception That sincerity, that urgency, they also had great wisdom, for it tells us in verse 12, therefore, many of them believed. Therefore. Again, you may have heard this. When you read the word therefore, ask, what's it there for? Because it's always referring to what's said before. And in this case, it's telling us that because they listened to Paul with all readiness of mind, and because they searched the Scriptures daily, many of them believed. A direct result. Because they gave themselves to finding out whether it's true, they believed. And I hear people, I meet with people, I talk with people, and they just disregard Christianity, and they just sign off the Word of God as if it's just some silly old book written by men centuries ago. And yet they never do this very thing. They don't think about it. They don't look at it. They don't read it. They don't come to hear it being preached. And if they just did, even just for a short time, they might find out otherwise. I don't know, again, as I look upon you, I don't know who's saved. I don't know who here has already believed. I don't know which one of you will be in heaven or may be cast into hell. I do not know. But I plead with you, not as a preacher whose job it is to bring you the truth, not as some guy just coming over from South Australia or Northern Ireland to try and make an impression upon you. I preach as a fellow man. I preach to your heart. I urge you as someone who loves you as much as God gives me grace to do so, even though I do not know you. I urge you, please, will you just give the Word of God and give Christ some consideration? Many believed. What wise people they were. And I wonder how many of you are going to believe tonight. The sad reality is, as I look down upon this congregation, as I look out in the world, I see those who were like Thessalonica. Those Thessalonians who hated Christ, who hated the gospel, who had no desire to know Him. And all I can pray and all I can desire is that you might become like some of these wise Bereans. Give consideration to the Word of God and believe. In closing, you might remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He stood nearing the end of His ministry, if I remember correctly. And He looked over a town, a city that He had ministered in. But even though He had ministered there faithfully and performed many miracles in their midst, the vast majority never believed. And as He looked over Capernaum, He gave a warning. He said that it's going to be worse in that day of judgment, that day when all your deeds will come before a holy God. It's going to be worse in that day for this people and for those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you know anything of those in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, you will understand that they were the vilest of society. You look upon people and you think, I'm not like them. I don't do those sins. I don't fornicate. I'm not an adulterer. I don't steal. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't tell even little white lies. I come to God's house. I read the Bible. I pray. I do all those things. I'm not like those other men and women in this town. I don't go to the pubs. I don't go to the clubs. Yet because you simply reject the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, your suffering
is going to be worse. You're next to a sodomite in hell, and you're suffering more than them. Not because you lived an unclean life, but because you rejected Jesus Christ. I trust that you will come to believe. And if we can be of any help to you, again, we can't save. But praise God, we can open the Scriptures. We can just verify that you understand what it teaches. And may you embrace that salvation even this night, with or without our help, for Jesus' sake. Amen.